look the same. Well, think about it. Did y'all remember the Lone Ranger? And he'd go in and they'd be like, who was that masked man? And then we went into COVID and we had to wear masks. And I'm like, you can't commit a crime. If you think you're going to go rob a bank with one of these bad boys on, everybody's going to know who you are. Just so you're wondering. So how has the past year and a half been for y'all? Kind of fun, eh? When this all went down, a company I was working for pulled us off the road, and I was talking to some colleagues on the Friday, and we were all laughing. We're like, this is so ridiculous. Everybody is just overreacting. See you all in 2 weeks. Did any of you think like that? It was like 2 weeks, this thing's going to be over. Everybody's going to be like, that was just silly. Do you know how many weeks it's been? 74. And I know because I counted yesterday. What do you think? How do you like it? We use words like unprecedented. A once in a century occurrence. Can I make an observation? And please don't hate on me. I think that when the Rona is finally finished, there are going to be things we miss. I'm a short person. I like 6 feet distances. I have always had a big personal space. Before masks and COVID and everything else, I don't like people in my space. When this is done, I'm maintaining the 6 foot distance. I'm just going to carry a pool noodle and smack people that get within my range. How about invites over to somebody's house that you didn't want to go to? Let's be honest, right? Before he'd be like, oh, man. Because people go, hey, what are you doing Friday? And you're like, nothing. And they're like, great, why don't you come over? So this one, what are you doing Friday? I'm like, why? What do you have in mind? Because depending on what you're offering, I may have something else I want to do. But now we could say, hey, do you want to go? No, I can't, man. Sorry, Rona. Can't come over. There are things I think we're going to find that are different. But let me ask you this. Please raise your hand. How many of you have enjoyed this experience? I got 3.5. Somebody's like, eh. You know, there have been some benefits. I found out something about myself that I didn't know. I am a fairly outgoing person. But with this, I found out that I'm not quite as outgoing as I thought. I've kind of liked this isolation aspect to it. But here's what I want to talk about this morning, because, oh, by the way, do I have a boundary that I need to stay in? As I wander back and forth, we're good? Because of the poor people watching online, they're like, and there he goes. The thing that I want to talk about this morning is the biblical idea of joy. How do we find joy in all circumstances of life? How do we rejoice in who God is and what he's given us when things aren't like we think they should be? It's interesting. Solomon says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. There's a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep, a time to heal. Sorry, I just read that. A time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them, a time to embrace and, with COVID, a time to refrain. A time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak. A time of love to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. God has a purpose and a reason for every activity under heaven. And one of the things that I want to talk about with this idea of joy is this. This is the day, and this is kind of our theme verse for the whole message. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Because I believe with all my heart that God did not simply create us to plod through life, but to embrace every moment of life, in the good, in the bad, to seize the moments that we have, to enjoy them, to laugh, to play, to relish in life. So let's talk about this idea of joy. The word joy is used in the Bible 218 times, and the word rejoice is used 133 times, for a total of 351 times. Now, if someone says something to you 351 times, do you think that perhaps there might be something there that we need to pay attention to? God says, in essence, 351 times that we need to be known as people that are joyful. Listen to this. Psalm 30, verse 11. You turn my wailing into dancing. You remove my sackcloth and you clothe me with joy. Psalm 47, 1. Clap your hands, all you nations. Shout to God with cries of joy. Psalm 126, 3. The Lord has done great things for us and we are filled with joy. Psalm 64, 10, let the righteous rejoice in the Lord and take refuge in him. Let all the upright in heart praise him. Psalm 68, 4, sing to God, sing praise to his name, extol him who rides on the clouds. His name is the Lord and rejoice before him. And then Philippians 4, 4, rejoice in the Lord. And again, I will say it, rejoice. Scripture is crammed full of admonitions to live joyful. Here's what I think. As people of God, we need to be the most joyful, fun, free, spontaneous people on earth. Because Paul says, rejoice in the Lord. And in case you missed it, let me just say it again. Rejoice. But then we come to something like we've experienced. Because you're like, but wait a minute. We just went through a global pandemic. It was terrible. Jobs were lost. Lives were lost. Families were separated. Have you guys been amazed at how divisive COVID has been? Right? And I don't, listen to me. I don't know where any of you stand. And just to be completely blunt and honest, I don't really care. But we have over here the anti-maskers and the anti-vaxxers. And then we have over here, okay. I got to tell you this, and if you would do this and I offend you, I just want to apologize in advance. We're flying home on the plane, and prior to COVID, I washed my hands on a regular, I don't know if you all did that, but apparently that is a good personal hygiene thing. If your parents didn't teach you to wash your hands after you went to the bathroom or before you ate, I hope this did, right? It's just kind of a hygiene. Just if you're not a hand washer, please stay 6 feet away from me after the service. But prior to this, I was a hand washer, right? It was no big deal. But we get on the airplane, and Teresa and I sit down, and they give you the little, you know, the sanitized wipes. And so, whatever. We didn't do a whole lot with them. But this lady in front of us, she had a box of these bad boys. And she sanitized her entire seat, top to bottom. We're talking 5, 6, 7 minutes, her and her daughter's seat. She sanitized this whole thing, and I'm assuming that they sanitize the airplane before you get on it, but maybe not. So she sanitized the entire, both of her seats, and then she reaches into her luggage, foof, and she's got a seat cover that she covers. This thing must have had to be special. She covers the entire seat, and then she wears two masks. And again, I'm being mildly judgmental, I have to be honest a little bit, but that's kind of the other extreme of COVID, right? You got the, you can't tell me what to do. The vaccines are not real. The disease isn't real. I don't want to wear a mask. You got this people, these people. And then you got everybody over here that is like, the world is a petri dish of death. And I just want to sanitize everybody and everything, right? I don't care where you fall on this. But it has amazed me that this has become such a divisive issue. Are any of you, and man, don't be shy, are any of you medical doctors in here? Any infectious disease specialists? Okay, then let me say this. Anybody that graduated grade 10 science class? Excellent. You are not experts. Right? But we go through these times and we're like, this has just been a horrible time. And it has been in many respects. But we let circumstances dictate our joy. And the joy that God offers us is greater than the circumstances that we have. See, we will never understand God until we understand this about God, that God is the happiest, most joyful being in the universe. Yes, God knows sorrow. Jesus is remembered, among other things, as a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. But God's sorrow, and along with his anger, are just temporary responses to a fallen world. We need to understand that one of God's basic characteristics is joy, and he intended that we, his creation, mirror and reflect that. It's interesting to note, when Jesus is talking to the disciples on the idea of obedience in John 15, he finishes up that dialogue and that discourse with this in verses 10 and 11. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this, listen, so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Because what God wants us to experience is complete and utter joy. Lewis Smead says this, "To miss out on joy is to miss out on one of the reasons we exist." C.S. Lewis said, "Joy is the serious business of heaven." The essence of the Christian life is joy. Joy at who God is, joy at what we have because of God, joy with the very breath we take, pure, plain, unbridled joy. That needs to define us, and that needs to be part of who we are. And it's interesting that the Bible puts joy in the non-optional category. You ever notice in church that we have acceptable sins and unacceptable sins in church? So tell me some acceptable sins in church. Okay, how come nobody's speaking up? What? Come on. Laziness. What else? Gluttony. Oh, but church potlucks are the best, man. Gluttony. Am I going to have to gossip? Divisiveness. There are sins that we accept in. Yeah, I'm just going to be blunt. There are sins that we accept in the church. There are sins that we go, it's okay. What are sins we don't accept in the church? Murder? Okay, I think that's a good one. I've been to some church meetings that. What else? Who? Theft? Really? Yeah, I guess that is a bad one. I was thinking we accept that one. I'm like, no, we don't. Sorry. My brain froze for a minute. Yeah, theft is a bad one. What else? Adultery. Oh, bad one. What else? What about abortion? Oh, that's a bad one. What about divorce? What about smoking marijuana? Where do we stand on that now? That just got confusing, didn't it? You can't do it because it's illegal. It's legal. Oh, I don't know. don't go there. But we have things that we accept as part of our fallen nature, and we have things that we don't accept. One of the sins that we accept in church is this idea of being joyless. And I wonder how many people have misunderstood God because of our lack of joy. Psalm 118:24 again. This is the day the Lord has made, this day, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. We are called by God to rejoice in every moment of the day that he's given us. It's interesting, in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 8, and if you don't remember Nehemiah, they were rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem, and they were being attacked by their enemies to such an extent that they would work on the wall with one hand, with a sword in another, to protect themselves. They lived in unprecedented times too. They lived with danger. They lived with attack. They lived with fear of death. And when they finally finished the wall and they felt protected, it says in chapter 8 that Ezra the priest stood before the people and he read the words of scripture to them. And it says that the people wept because they got an understanding of who God was in the midst of all of their difficult times. And then in verses 9 through 12, Nehemiah stands before the people, and this is what he says. After they've just come through a long, arduous, dangerous, difficult time, Nehemiah says, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. Go your way. Eat the fat and drink sweet wine, for this day is holy to our Lord. And do not be grieved, for the Lord is your strength." Then all the people went away to eat and drink and to celebrate with great joy because now they understood the words that had been made known to them. Nehemiah says, this day, after everything we've been through, after everything God has done through for us, after all of the danger, this day is holy before God, and here's what you need to do. You need to go have a party. You need to go celebrate and rejoice. See, the biblical writers are clear that our joy is our responsibility. We often let circumstances or people dictate our joy. And the Bible isn't having any of that. It doesn't say, I'm going to be joyful when Teresa does this for me. I'm going to be joyful when this circumstance happens. No, joy is our responsibility to choose. It's not our friends or our parents or our spouses or our circumstances or anything like that. Listen, some of you are joy impaired. Even with your masks on, I can tell. Some of you, you just need to understand that you need to choose joy. Listen to what Proverbs 17:22 says. Being cheerful keeps you healthy. It's a slow death to be gloomy all the time. One of my favorite cartoon characters is Eeyore. Like, who just doesn't love Eeyore? But I meet people that are Eeyore in real life. Eeyore the cartoon is funny. Eeyore the person is not. Right? But we have this idea, and I don't know where it is, and somehow church people seem to have it more than others. We have this idea that we just need to be serious, somber, grumpy people. You know what I'm talking about? Back when I was pastoring, I used to wear Hawaiian shirts. I had two reasons that I wore them. Number one, I made them look good. And number two, my thinking was, I met an awful lot of people when I was pastoring that said, you know, I don't really have anything to wear to church. So I figured I would just wear the ugliest thing possible. So when they said that, I could go, you know what, don't worry about it. You will not look worse than I do. But I remember being at a church conference one time. And there was a lady from our church, and I was chatting with her. And at the table with her was this very, very severe-looking woman. And the lady from my church said, "This is Pastor Greg. He's the pastor at X Church." And this woman, and I am not making this up, you guys, this woman does this. She looks me up, she looks me down, I guess that's twice, and she goes, "I've met the pastor from the church, and he doesn't look anything like you." And I went, "Well, excuse me." But sometimes we just think that being joyless is what God wants, and it's not. Being cheerful keeps you healthy. It's a slow death for everybody around you too, by the way, to be gloomy all the time. So how do we pursue joy? I want to give you one idea, and I stole this from Dallas Willard, but it's called the discipline of celebration. Because the essence of the Christian life is joy, and he says celebration is often misunderstood. And here's how he describes it. He says, celebration is the completion of worship, for it dwells on the greatness of God and shown in his goodness toward us. We engage in celebration when we enjoy ourselves, our lives, and our world in conjunction with our faith and confidence in God's greatness, beauty, and goodness. And I'm using the idea of celebration here to celebrate the beauty and the gifts that we have from God. Biblical celebration is Godward. It's not self-focused. It's not hedonistic. And I'm not sure where we've gotten off track with this idea that celebration is something that we should withhold or not do very often. Did you know that there were 9 major religious festivals instituted in the Old Testament? 9. We have what? Easter, Christmas, Thanksgiving-ish, civic holiday really doesn't count. I'm not even sure what that one is. Right? Mother's and Father's Day, not really religious, but we'll go with them. We don't have a lot of major celebrate, right? Our major religious celebrations are basically Easter and Thanksgiving. Sorry, Easter and Christmas. They had 9 of them. Some of them lasted a week. And we're talking about a week of feasting and party and celebration. It's interesting that some of them were just simply to celebrate the goodness of God. And they were true festive holidays. And I looked it up. You don't want to know what they did in some of these festive holidays? They ate and they feasted and they drank and they danced. Can I say that twice? They ate and they feasted and they drank and they danced. When was the last time we had a dancing potluck? For the event planners here, you're welcome. And if you've forgotten how to celebrate life, just watch kids. If you ever watch kids, kids celebrate everything. Everything is a blast, but somehow we grow up and we get responsible and we get serious. Do you know how many times a day a child laughs? On average? 134. Do you know how many times a day an adult laughs? On average? 4. Y'all need to laugh more. Right? Somehow we have lost the joy of childhood celebration. Do you know what makes me happy these days? Like, I do a little happy dance when I get a free bag at the grocery store. How much are they? They're not. They are 6 cents, people, because you pay tax on those bad boys. See, you didn't know that. Now when you get a free bag, you're going to be like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I got a free bag. That's my happy dance. That's all I got, peeps. Right? How come the little things don't bring joy? I get a free bag, and I'll go in there, and they're like, do you want a bag? I'm like, I don't know. Are they free? And the kid will be, they are today. I'm like, yes, they are. And I got a free bag, and we need to just simply understand that everything that God gives us is a gift. And we need to be joyful about it. We need to find reasons to celebrate. When Teresa and I lived in Hamilton, we were driving along one day, and we came, it was around Lake Ontario. We saw they were building this huge, it looked like a huge mansion. And it caught our attention, so we drove up. We're like, oh, when they finish that, we need to find out what it is. So a couple months later, we go, they've got it finished, and it's a restaurant. And we're like, okay, we need to go. And this was, for some of you who are younger, just gird your loins. This was before the advent of the internet. So it's not like you could go online and go, I wonder what their menu is. You had to do it old school. You just had to show up and take a risk. So it looked like a fancy restaurant. So Teresa and I got up. She put a dinner dress up. She put a dinner dress on. I put a suit and tie on. We go, we sit down, we get the menu, and this was our kind of restaurant. Expensive. So we are like, jazz, this is perfect. So we order our food and our drinks, and we're sitting there and we're chatting, and then we start eavesdropping because this was before COVID, so the tables were closed and you could hear other people's conversations. And we noticed that the couple to the right of us, they were there celebrating his birthday. And the table behind us, they were there celebrating a retirement. And somebody else was there celebrating their anniversary. And everybody was there at this fancy restaurant celebrating something. So we get talking to the birthday couple, and they noticed the same thing we did. So as we're kind of chatting, he turns to me and he said, so what are you guys celebrating? So So Teresa and I looked at each other. I looked at him. I looked at Teresa. I looked at him. And I said, we're here celebrating Tuesday. And he kind of looked taken aback. He said, really? And I'm like, yeah, dude, it only comes once a week. Why don't we celebrate Tuesdays? Why don't we, right? What do we really need a reason to celebrate God's goodness? Celebrate life because it's a gift. Understand that celebration is God's idea. It's not yours. When we see the feast days and the celebration days in the Old Testament, they were celebration with the intent of focusing on the wonderful gifts that God has given to us. Listen to Deuteronomy 14, 20 through 26. Okay, be sure to set aside a tenth of all that your fields produce each year. Okay, so test question. A tenth represented what? Please don't say 10% of 100. What was a tenth representative of? A who? A tithe. Y'all remember that? Right? We tithe, we take money, and we give it to the church to support the Lord's work. That idea? Remember, some churches are big on that. So God says, be sure to set aside a tenth of all that your fields produce each year. Then he says this, eat the tithe of your grain, new wine and oil, and the firstborn of your herds and flocks in the presence of the Lord your God at the place he will choose as a dwelling for his name. So God says, once this location is picked, chosen, then what I want you to do is I want you to set aside a tenth of all of your wealth, of your grain, in your animals, in your oil, and I want you to celebrate with me. He says, so eat the tithe of your grain, new wine and oil, and the firstborn of your herds and flocks in the presence of the Lord your God at the place he will choose as a dwelling for his name, so that you may learn to revere the Lord your God always. But if that place is too distant, and you have been blessed by the Lord your God and cannot carry your tithe, right? I got a lot. Because the place where the Lord will choose to put his name is so far away, then exchange your tithe, so sell your tenth for silver, and take the silver with you, and go to the place the Lord your God will choose, use the silver, listen to this, this is a tithe offering, use the silver to buy whatever you like, cattle, sheep, wine, or other fermented drinks, or anything you wish. How many of you are familiar with that passage? I have never heard that passage preached on in a tithing sermon. So God says, I want you to take a tenth of what you have, which is a tithe, and when I determine where my dwelling place is going to be, I want you to take that and I want you to bring it, and if you just got too much, then sell it, take the silver, and I want you to buy cattle, you know, get yourself a good steak, good lamb chop, get yourself a nice bottle of wine, get yourself some other fermented drink, whatever you want, or anything you wish. Ladies, think about this. You get a new pair of shoes. Right? Man, we are going there. I need some new kickers. God says, I want you to take this and I want you to buy anything you wish. Then you and your household shall eat there in the presence of the Lord your God and rejoice. See, we often think of discipline is abstinence, right? You know what? I'm going to discipline myself. I'm going to give up eating eggplant. Man, I am on board with that, right? I am going to show great self-restraint and discipline, and for the month of September, I am going to give up liver. Yeah. Yeah, you got it. Woo! We are on a roll here, kids. Right? It's not, I'm never going to say, for the month of September, I'm going to show self-discipline and give up pizza. Why? There's no such thing as bad pizza. Right? And it's interesting, though, that when we think of discipline and when we think of holy days, we think of somehow we need to deny ourselves. But going back to Nehemiah, Nehemiah had commanded the people to eat the fat. And basically, some translations say choice food. It's interesting that, but you would expect Nehemiah to stand before the people and go, this was a tough year. This day is holy before the Lord. Therefore, thou shalt eat locusts and liver and Brussels sprouts. But who likes Brussels sprouts? People. My disappointment is overwhelming. Who likes eggplant? Really? Because I'm going through this, I'm writing this, I'm like, okay, what are horrible foods? Who like black olives? Who likes kale? Who likes lentils? Who likes garbanzo beans? Who can spell garbanzo beans? I have a daughter who loves lentils, and we do this is a total sidetrack right now. We do, out in British Columbia, our daughters live out there near us, so we do a Sunday dinner. And one time she brought a salad, I kid you not. It had lentils, kale, and garbanzo beans. And she's like, Dad, this is so healthy. And I went, sweetie, I'm not afraid to die. And by eating this, all I'm going to be is angry by the time we're done. But I digress. So basically, Nehemiah says, this day is holy before the Lord. Therefore, go your way and have brownies and Twinkies and ice cream and Doritos and every yummy thing that you're not supposed to eat. Celebrate the goodness of God. See, we often live with this illusion that joy will come when life gets better, right? You know, when the doctor's report comes in and it's better than it was, when my job improves, when I get a job, when my paycheck gets bigger, when the COVID rules go away, when we have to stop wearing masks, when we can hug people again, I will have joy when? That's not what the Bible says, man. Bible says, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. It doesn't say, yesterday was God's day, how happy I was then. It doesn't say, tomorrow will be great, I'll just endure. Yesterday is gone, you could be dead tomorrow. All you have is today. To understand and be joyful. Karl Barth says that joy is defiant nevertheless, that basically joy will triumph over bitterness and resentment. Listen, if we don't rejoice today, why are we going to rejoice tomorrow? If we didn't rejoice yesterday, why do we think tomorrow is going to be any different? COVID is not going away anytime soon, kids. The trials, the tribulations, the struggles, the things that you have brought in here today, they may not go away. And we all want to go, you know what? It's going to get better. That's just a lie sometimes. It may not get better. It may actually get worse. You're welcome. Eeyore has entered the building. Right? We live with this idea that when life gets better, but what if it doesn't? What if it doesn't get better? Are we just going to sit there in our gloominess, or are we going to allow God to exude joy through us? See, we need to learn to appreciate the little things. So here's what I want you to do. You ready? I got some things for you to implement immediately so that you can begin to enjoy God, enjoy the gifts He's given, and celebrate. Here's what I want you to do today. I want you to go home and have a party. Even if you live alone, seriously, put on Spotify, put on a dance mix, and kick it out. And if you don't know what Spotify is, I can help you, because I'm technologically savvy-ish. If you have kids, here's what I want you to do. Put on a family movie, make a big honking bowl of popcorn, lather it with butter, not margarine, and I'm talking a lot of butter, a lot of salt, and sit down with a Coke and popcorn and your kids and a movie, and lunch is planned. You're welcome. Make some coffee and sit with your spouse. Can we go out for lunch here? You can go out for lunch. Go out for lunch with friends. Spend time with people you love. And I have dinner plans for you. And I know this works because Teresa and I did this our first year of marriage. So what you do is you make a big honking pan of brownies. And you take a big honking bag of milk chocolate chips. And you pour the whole bag in the brownie mix. And then you stir it up. You put that bad boy in a pan, you pop it in the oven, you cook it. When it comes out, when it's still a little bit warm, you cut it in half, and you have a glass of milk, because that makes it healthy, and you have dinner. Because there is nothing that will make you happier than a big pan of brownies. Am I right? Right? There's just some... I'm not really a sweets guy, but there is something about brownies that just brings joy to your heart, right? And when you don't really have to share, because there's not, I always hate when people cut brownies, especially at potlucks. You ever see how they cut brownies? They're like that big. You got to take six of them to get a brownie, and then everybody behind you is hating on you, right? But now you can go home, and if you have four people in your house, you can make two pans of brownies. If you have six people, you can make three pans of brownies, right? Basically, what you're looking at is a half a pan of brownies per person. And because it's a celebration, the calories don't count. Celebrate today. Celebrate what God has given you. Celebrate the gift of life. Celebrate what you have, whether it's big or small. Today is August 15th, 2021. You will never, ever get this day back. You will never get to celebrate August 15th, 2021 again. When it's gone, it is gone forever. And that's why God says, this is the day, August 15th, 2021, that I have made. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to rejoice. I want you to celebrate. I want you to be glad in it, because this is my gift. God says, this is my gift to you. You never get it back. There's no redos. There's no mulligans. You are one day closer to death. Eeyore has re-entered the building. That right? Today is the first day of the rest of your life. How are you going to live it? What are you going to do? Are you going to wallow in your self-pity of everything that isn't right? Or are you going to celebrate the gifts that God has given you? Here's what I think God wants. I honestly think he wants us to be joyful in everything and to exude that joy, even in the midst of trials and difficulty. I think I've told you guys this once before, but I'm going to restate it. There was a guy who wrote a book, and he defines himself as not being a person of faith. He said he defines himself as being incapable of faith. But he was a historian, and he wrote a book on how Christianity grew to be a predominant world religion. And we probably have all sorts of ideas on how it grew, but this is what he found out historically why Christianity grew like it did. See, back in the old days, they had pandemics all the time. They had, what was that thing called? Oh, the bubonic plague. Remember that? They had things that wiped out entire populations. And what would happen when these pandemics hit, do you know what everybody would do? Because they lived in these crowded cities, they would disperse. They would take off, right? Teresa gets sick, like, bye, Felicia. I'm not hanging out with you. You're sick. You're going to die. I love you, but I'm going to love you at a big, big distance. And so husbands left wives, wives left children, husbands, parents left kids, kids left parents. People would just leave one another if they were sick, and the sick people stayed in the cities. Do you know who stayed? The Christians. The church stayed, and they ministered to the sick and dying, and they became the sick and dying, and because they were the ones that stayed when everyone else was leaving, when it went away, the church would explode in growth. We are living in a global pandemic. What an opportunity. It's not an opportunity to scrub people with sanitary wipes. It's an opportunity to demonstrate joy and love and compassion. If we don't know how to be joyful in times like this, what hope do we offer anyone else? Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you so much for today. Thank you, Lord, that we can be here. Lord, that in the midst of everything, we can gather. Father, thank you that this is the day you've given us. With all of its ups, all of its downs, all of its unknowns. God, we don't know how this day is going to proceed. We don't know how it's going to unfold. But we do know that this is the gift that you've given us. And Father, I pray that we rejoice in it and we just live and demonstrate your joy to everyone we come into contact with. And we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.